Hi, everybody, and welcome back to the Creative Kindergarten Podcast. My name is Amanda, and I'm an early childhood educator in Ontario, Canada. And this podcast is a place where I talk about all things kindergarten. I pick a topic for the week, and I share my thoughts, my ideas, my learning around that topic. And for this week's episode, I'm super excited because I am joined by a fellow educator who is going to be talking to us about how she uses story workshop in her classroom. It is an amazing discussion around how powerful story workshop can be. And this is not something that I'd heard of in the past or something that I have tried, but after having this conversation with Marissa from Madame Marisseux, I was so excited to try them out with my students. And I'm so excited for you to be able to listen and be inspired by all of the amazingness that she shares with us. Marissa is a grade 3 French immersion teacher out in British Columbia. And I say out in British Columbia because I'm in Ontario. For me, that's out there. And she used to teach kindergarten, and she has used story workshop in all of grades that she has taught. And she talks a little bit about how she differentiates it for the different grades and how you can use it to differentiate your instruction in your classroom as well. This is a great podcast episode, and I can't wait to hear your thoughts about it. Thank you, everybody, for joining me for the Creative Kindergarten Podcast. Today, I have another special guest joining me. Marissa is here from Madame Marisseux.
Hi, everybody.
How are you today?
I'm good. I feel like we're just getting back into the swing of things after the break and getting back in that teaching mindset.
I know. Ours was our first day back today, and it just felt like we really hit the ground running, and I was just like holding on for dear life, just trying to get through the day.
Just survival mode at this point.
Pretty much. Yeah. And luckily there's no snow or anything like that, because I don't know what I would have done with a whole set of snow pants and things for my kids today.
Honestly, can't deal with it.
No, it would be too much. I'm really excited to have you on the podcast to talk about story workshops and how you structure story workshops, because this is not something I think I've ever tried. And so I'm really excited to hear about how you structure it and how you use it in your classroom, and sharing it with the audience as well. So if you could just get us started, what is a story workshop?
Well, story workshop, I think the big piece here is that there's no wrong way to do it. And basically, it's telling a story through loose parts. And so loose parts are basically anything small and manipulative that you can move around, create like a visual little scene. Whether you move around the pieces or not is up to the child, but create the scene, and then what are we going to do with it after? And we'll get into all the sort of extension pieces that you can do after that.
Amazing. So is this completely teacher led? Do you do this as a whole group in front of the class? Is this a center, a provocation that you set up? How is it like logistically in the classroom?
Well, I think it's important to know, I didn't say it at the beginning, but I currently teach grade 3. I started in kindergarten and it really wasn't for me. So amazing, all of you who do it. But normally I teach in the 2-3 range. And so for my grade level, and honestly, we do it, my school does it, and everybody does it as a whole group activity. If in your classroom you do some type of center rotation, daily 5, some literacy center, you could absolutely do it in small groups. Or if you wanted students to come work with you, especially if you have K or 1 that you want to help them and prompt them more. But generally, I do it as a whole group activity. And there are so many ways to do it. You can do it way more teacher-led and give them prompts and guide them through the whole process of it. But you can also allow them just to, here's your pieces, make something with it, and then tell me about it. And so one of the things that I think is really important to do before you even go into the world of story workshop is the pre-teaching that you have to do ahead of time. Because think about loose parts, your buttons, your gems, your pine cones, your sticks, your whatever, they're small and little, and they're going to end up on the floor because let's be honest. And so we need to talk to the kids about how to take care of those materials, right? whether you went and out and actually purchased them, or they were something you thrifted or were donated, it doesn't matter. You want them, you need to teach them how to sort those pieces. Like mine are all in little bins, and so all the sticks are in a bin and the buttons are in a bin and whatever. And so there's pre-teaching that goes into that so that we work on what is the expectation for collecting the pieces? How are you going to go and choose your bits? What's the expectation when we're done the activity and we're going to go put the things away? I think you cannot skimp on that part of the teaching,
I think
right?
that's just so important for everything in kindergarten. Like, just start with the expectations and then try to do anything else after that,
And
because
I think if
nothing's
you're
going to
going to
happen.
do this, especially with Ks or ones, or if it's something that maybe you're the first person in your school to try it out, do something as a class. So you are the one as a teacher collecting the materials. If you have a dot cam, maybe you're doing it underneath your dot cam, or you gather your group around and we're going to build it together to show them the process of I have these bits and oh, I've got some puzzle pieces and I'm going to make that a tree and I'm going to create a person over here and show them like what are we actually doing with this stuff, right? And then you also have to let them know, are you working alone, creating your own scene, or are you going to create with a friend to have that collaboration piece, right? And what's the expectation after they build? I mean, if you teach K, maybe that's all you're doing is just the building. It's so good for fine motor. You've got all these little pieces you have to move around. But if you want to extend that, do you want them to tell their story orally? Do you want them to draw a picture of it? Do you want them to write a sentence, or if they're older, write a, you know, a few sentences, right? What are we going to do here? We're going to build and then we're going to do what? So I think that's part of the setup of it before we even dive into the actual building is letting them know what are we going to be doing today and what's the point of this.
Yeah, the modeling I find every year, it just reinforces just how much students just need modeling after modeling of everything. Even if you think it's going to be the smallest part of the activity, they need to see it, because if you don't show them, I find sometimes if you just let them do whatever, like they do go in the opposite direction than you expected them to. So I love modeling for them. And I also love sometimes I'll do it quote unquote wrong, and then they'll come and like, that's not where you put that stick, you have to put it in that bin or whatever, like they'll start correcting you. And so I do like to model it wrong sometimes to see if they'll catch, like, oh, this is how you're supposed to do it correctly, so they can catch themselves as well.
You put your best actress on and you sort of go like, here, what? It doesn't go there. What are you talking about? Show me how I would do it, right? Get them to teach you.
Exactly. Yeah.
And then some things, I mean, you're gonna need some materials to do story workshop, right? So like I said, the loose parts, and I have a blog post, we can link that for you, that has gives you tons of ideas about what loose parts even are. And yeah, you have to build up a little collection at some point. So you need some loose parts. You're probably going to want a background for your story. And now the cheapest route to go is probably to go to Michael's and get those little felt mats sort of thing. But you can use place mats, you can use whatever you want. And then one of the biggest tips I found, sort of a trial and error tip, was the kids come up to the table where you have set out these loose parts and their bins. How are they going to get them back to their table without them falling all over the floor? I give my kids yogurt containers, like the big ones. So they walk up to the table and they take one of the people and wants a bit of the greenery and whatever and put everything in their little yogurt cup and walk with their yogurt cup back to their spot, build and do the activity. And then when they're done, it's time to clean up. I put everything in the yogurt cup from my table and I walk the whole yogurt cup back to the table where all the loose parts are to sort from there. And honestly, that has been a lifesaver and I've had way less stuff lost or on the ground or getting smushed or something like that, right?
Yes, that's a great idea. I never even thought of that. But yeah, that would be fantastic. And then you're recycling things too, which I always love.
Absolutely. I mean, I have some, if you have little containers in your class and like, what am I going to do with these? Use those. But your containers are super easy to come by. Even asking the families to say, hey, I'm collecting yogurt containers, you'll have a class set in no time and it costs you nothing, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So how we start it. Now, like I said, there is no wrong way to go about it. You can give them a prompt or not. If you want to give them a prompt, you can read a book. It can be a season or a holiday or something like that where, oh, we're learning about Diwali. Let's do a story about Diwali. It could be a theme, like we're learning about kindness or we're learning about friendship or something that you've been talking about in class. Using videos, short films. You can find a ton of them on YouTube, like those Pixar short films. Honestly, any topic you want. You could read the story and have them recreate the story, retell it using loose parts. Or you could have it as a jumping off point. So maybe it was a story about building a snowman and this happened. And so then they're going to take that and like, oh, well, what would you do in a story where it was a snow day. What would you be doing? So you took kind of the idea of the book and then applied it to the story. But you don't have to give them a prompt at all. Most of the time, I don't. I say, just go for it. And they love that. I mean, sometimes some kids do get really stuck, and then you could just prompt those ones. But generally, the loose parts are a prompt themselves. And it's amazing what they can do with like milk jug lids and sticks. You know what I mean? To us as adults, we look at it like it's just a bunch of junk and a bunch of little weird pieces. And what could you possibly create with this? But honestly, I've done this for, this is my fourth year of doing story workshop, and I'm shocked every time. I actually just did it this afternoon, and I'm just like, how did you come up with that design with these bits and pieces?
When you let them just use their imagination, and when they're given permission to just create. The things that their little brains come up with sometimes, it just blows me away with their creativity. And it's just such a gift to give them to be like, here, just use your this as a creative outlet and show us what you can do. It's such a good
And
gift for them.
yeah, like I say, I mean it's a bit daunting to be like, I have all these pieces, but then you start putting them down and you go, well, that kind of looks like a tree. Oh, I'm gonna make a river out of these gems, right? It's stuff just comes to you. And when I started learning about it, we had it was during a staff meeting. We had somebody from our school district come in and teach the staff. So there we were, a room full of adults who got given these bits and bobs and were like, make something. And we're all staring at each other like, okay, this is a bit weird. But then we were laughing. Laughing, creating stories, we were like, hey, come look at mine, right? And so there's that play aspect. And I think that this is such a great way to infuse some play without it being a full-blown open centers. It's loud, it's crazy, it's busy. And I think if you're going to start this in your classroom, let them just play with it to start. Don't come in your first one going, we're going to read a book, and then you're going to do this, and then you're going to tell me about it, and you're going to draw a picture. And don't overwhelm them. It's like when you have something new in the classroom, all they want to do is play with it, right? So give them the opportunity to just play with the stuff. And then after a few sessions of doing it that way, then introduce a book or say, okay, we're gonna write, it's winter time. Let's do a story about winter. So we'll sort of build your way up to a prompt if you are interested in giving them prompts.
Yeah, I love that. Letting them have the opportunity to play is going to be so important. It also just gives them, more com like being more comfortable with the materials as well. So again, they don't feel so overwhelmed, like, look at all these materials. I need to grab everything because if I don't grab everything, I'm gonna lose out on playing with something. Like if you give them the opportunity, then I feel like it just gives them the permission later to just like be a little bit calmer with the things and be more purposeful with what they're grabbing as well and what they're creating.
Yeah. So in my setup, I put about 10 different things out. And I always say, like, we're very lucky at my school to have these story workshop carts that our parent group put a lot of money into. And we have blue gems and red gems and green gems and whatever. And I say, choose one type of gem to put out. And this is going to help so much with your cleanup. Because if they have to come and then sort individual gems based on their color, they're all going to get mixed up. So give them one type of animal. You're like, oh, I have some little sea creature things. I'm giving them sea creatures. I'm going to give them one type of greenery, one type of whatever, so that it makes the sorting easier. So I put about 10 things out. Now, if you were doing this as sort of like a provocation, it's on a table, it's in a center or something. You could really tailor what you give them to sort of force, I don't want to say force, like guide them into what kind of story you want them to talk about. So yeah, in that example, oh, it's spring, so I'm gonna give them spring type stuff, or it's fall, I'm gonna give them fall type stuff to guide them a little bit. So I always put out a seasonal tray for my kids, but then the other stuff that I put out is random buttons and gems and little sticks and whatever. So you can do it however you want to do it. You can really guide it to and give them pieces that would suit a certain topic or a certain type of story, or you can just give them the most random stuff, and that's when their creativity shines, because they have to make something with milk jug lids and old puzzle pieces.
It's as you're talking about it, like all these like ideas are popping up into my head, like even books that I've read previous in the school year. I'm like, oh, I could have done this as a prompt with this book. I could have done it with a prompt with this topic that we did. So it's, yeah, already my brain is like ticking with all the ideas that are going through it with the story
And you know
workshop.
what? I think you'll find, as if it's something that you're interested in doing and you're going to start to build up your collection of loose parts, I mean, start with the cheap stuff like the milk jug lids and save your bread tags. And even last night I was kind of laughing to myself because I went to change a razor blade, and the little package that the razor blades came in, I went, oh my gosh, this would be so perfect for loose parts. And like, what a teacher move to be like, don't throw it away.
I have talked about this in another podcast as well, but like I just have a pile of random stuff that I'm like, don't, to my husband, like, don't touch this. Like, because we just came off the 2 week break. Like, don't touch this. This is the stuff I'm bringing back to class because this is like the stuff I need
It's
for
like
loose
it's good
parts.
stuff. And honestly, like before you go out and spend all your hard-earned money, like ask your students' families, what do you have in your junk drawer? Look at your own junk drawer, because you will find the best gems in there. I tell you, like the most random stuff. We have a whole bin full of keys. I don't know what these keys go to, but the kids love, they're like, I have a key and I can make it open the house and whatever. Like, it's that kind of stuff that you go, well, I just had it sitting around anyways. Or like bits of yarn, I cut them up into chunks. Or those like Mardi Gras beads,
Yes, I love cutting those up.
cut them up into chunks. Like all that sort of recycled, repurposed stuff, your razor blade cases, that kind of stuff that you go, like, use it for loose parts. Anything that kids can like put stuff in is very popular. We have these little, they're almost like mini petri dishes. They were donated to the school and they were like, here, use these for story workshop. They fill them with rocks and they do whatever, and now this is a water bowl, or this is, like it, their imagination goes wild and they are able to create so many more things than you could ever imagine. And I think Story Workshop allows everyone to be successful, which is what I love about it. Whether you have something like an extension activity you want to do after or not, the building part, everybody can do,
There's
right?
so many entry points. Like any student can find a way in.
And so it doesn't have to be something where you go like, oh, well, writing is a challenge for you, reading is a challenge for you, math is a challenge. But like, you know what? You can take these loose parts and create something. And even if you have a student who, like speaking is a challenge for them, then maybe pointing and showing you some different things on their mat, that's going to be a win for them. Whereas you have another student next to them who's able to tell you all about it or start writing. So everybody can have success with it, even if they're working at different levels. And so it's that like built-in differentiation that you don't even have to try, right?
I know our Ontario kindergarten program, you're in BC, right? Yeah, you're in BC. So our Ontario kindergarten program, like it talks about like saying, doing, and representing. So students can show their learning in a variety of ways. They can do it by saying or doing or by representing. And I feel like Story Workshop allows for all three of those simultaneously. Like kids can do all three of those or do one of them if that's what is appropriate for them. So it truly gives, again, those multiple entry points and the way for them to be able to show their learning and show their thinking in however way they can.
If you do any type of digital portfolio for your families, they love to see Story Workshop. If you take just a quick clip of them telling you about their story and you upload that to wherever you're supposed to be uploading it or whatever, that is a fantastic way to show learning. Right, especially for those kindergarten, early grade one, where they're not doing much writing and the speaking and the representing, that's what you're looking at. Well, how can you show that? Story Workshop is a great way to show the learning.
Yeah, there is an app. It's called Chatterbox Kids or Chatter Kits. I forget the name of it, but you take a picture basically of like something that you've created and you draw a little mouth on it. And then it records the kid's voice as the kid is talking about whatever they've created. And then wherever you drew the mouth, it kind of talks along with the kid's voice. So if they even had a character within their story, they could make that into like they can use
Yeah.
apps. Like there's just so many different things that they can do.
Well, and then you could build on that and go like, okay, well, we can have a narrator point of view, or we could be a main character in the story. So that's what I mean. Like the wheels are spinning of like ways to use it,
Yeah, I love it. And I've done
right?
it before where like I've attached QR codes to the story. Like I'll print the picture and attach a QR code. So then somebody walking by the bulletin board can just scan the QR code and see what is happening. Or and then you send it home to the parents and they scan the QR code. And now they see what was happening at school. Cause you know, loose parts, it's so I don't know if this is the right word, transient, not transient. That doesn't seem like the right word, but like it's not permanent. Whatever the opposite of permanent is. So yeah, sharing that learning, like you have to figure out different ways to be able to capture that learning and that thinking, which is, yeah.
So I mean they can draw a picture, but something I don't always do it, but if you take a picture of their work and then I mean you can just print it out on black and white, it doesn't really matter. What I did was you get a little sticky or a name tag or a popsicle stick with their name on it, put that in the picture because even though you know that Jane created a scene with a little king and a whatever, you're not gonna remember that tomorrow or tonight or whenever you do, right? But if you put Jane's name on her popsicle stick in the picture and then you go to run them off the printer and you're gonna maybe cut them out, put them in their journal or something, then you know whose is whose.
That's a good idea. Why did I never think of that? I'm taking pictures of the kids' stuff all the time, and I'm like, stick your head in there so I know it's yours.
That's me with my
Yeah. I'm like, I don't know it's going to be you in a 2 seconds. So put your head in there so I know it's you. That's such a good idea. I should stick all their names on popsicle sticks so I can just throw them in the pictures.
You know what? I mean, it came about because I did that where you went, oh my God, I put them all on a PowerPoint and then I print, and I'm like, whose is, I have no idea. They also don't remember whose
Yeah,
is whose.
there's no way they're
Right?
going to
No,
remember.
they don't remember. So having the name, there you go. You don't have to write it on anything. You just pass out your popsicle sticks, go take your pictures, and then when you're ready to actually deal with the pictures, you've got the name. You don't have to worry about it, right?
Oh, that's such a good idea. Yeah.
So for I would say for building time, in 2-3, I give them about 10 to 15 minutes to build, and then because we almost always do an extension activity after that, if you're K1 or even sometimes in grade 3, I'm like, we're just gonna build today. That's all we're gonna do, and we're gonna enjoy it. Then maybe you're doing 20 to 30 minutes of building, and it's gonna depend on your students. Sometimes they wrap it up really quick, right? I put a big timer on my board, like a little YouTube countdown timer, to help them with the time management. Obviously, with younger students, maybe you use a visual timer that's like going down if they don't really understand how many 10 minutes is. Right, but then I do, and that's part of the pre-teaching is that the expectation when the timer goes off, we're done. That we're not continuing, and then there's the extension activity. So, some things that we do, like I said, you can just talk about it, share the story, whether you're going to film it or not. It's easy if you have an EA or somebody else in the room to help you out, or just tell a friend, and you can wander around the room listening into their conversations. With each other and ask your friend a question about their story. So you could do that. That's probably the easiest one to do. You can draw the story, you can draw and label, so that would be like beginning writing. You can do a story elements page, so like who are the characters, what's the setting, what's the problem, what's the solution. They could draw or write, or then they could like build a full-on story. You could do a retell. I mean, there's so many different extension activities to do if you want, but the building can just be the building. Like, don't feel like you must then build something after it to keep it going. I think the biggest thing I've learned is that it takes longer than you think it will. You go like, oh, I have 30 minutes. Oh, great. Like, give yourself more time because it takes time to set out all your bins for everybody to go up to the table to start building to put it away. It's not like, oh, well, it's 20 minutes of building. 20 minutes, we can squeeze it in. You will not squeeze it in. So give yourself more time. And if you're like, oh, well, we have way more time than I thought, then let them build for a little longer, right?
Of course.
Better to do that than feel like, oh my gosh, the bell's gonna ring. We have everything all over the
And then you're rushing and you're just throwing things like,
floor.
forget
You're like,
it.
ah.
I was even just thinking, it's really powerful when they get to hear their peers' voice as well. So when they get to hear their peers sharing, and I don't think you'd be able, like, we have 30 kids in our class, so there's no way I could go through where each kid shares, you know, each time. But even if you pick, like, these are the five students that are going to share this time, we used to have these, like, portable, they were almost like overhead projector thingies, but you could carry them around the classroom. I think there's a way to do it with an iPad where you can project it onto the board, where even you could bring it over to the table where a student is, like, created something where they can share with their peers, like in the classroom, like what they've created from the projector. I think would be pretty cool too.
Yeah, I love that. I mean, I know a lot of people do that when they're doing writer's workshop or something like that. Like, okay, we're going to pick a few kids today and you are going to tell us about your writing or show us your picture or whatever it is and do, I'm thinking on the, like, the wheels are spinning, like a gallery walk. So everybody, like, put their stuff down, we all push our chairs in and we do a little lap together. And that's another way to see everybody's without it taking a ton of time, right? Yeah. So yeah, there's so many ways to do it. And like I said at the beginning, there is no wrong way. And so if you find a way that works for you, if you want to do it in small groups, big groups, do it as a table, do it as, you know, it doesn't matter. I think the kids love it no matter what. And the important thing is that it's for everybody. So even if you teach K or one or two or three right now, and in a couple of years you teach grade six, it doesn't mean you have to stop doing it. Like I said, our school has two story workshop carts and they're primarily used by the primary classes, but grade seven teachers use it. And they, every time they use one of the carts, they talk about how much their students get out of it, right? Obviously your expectation and your extension activity will change quite a bit from grade one to grade six. But like we were when we were adults in that staff meeting, you're not too old to play with stuff in front of you. And it really gives a huge jumping off point for kids who are stuck for ideas.
And imagine, like, how powerful that would be for students that started doing it in kindergarten and now they're still doing it in grade seven. Just how much they would be able to pull on all those prior, like, experiences and all the times they heard their peers sharing or, like, all those kinds of things. They'd be able to bring that all in and just, like, let that creativity flow. So powerful.
Yeah. Another fun thing we did, and this could be a great idea if you're just starting out and you don't have a ton of loose parts, we did individual story boxes. And then we started this when we were teaching during the pandemic and we couldn't share anything, we couldn't touch anything. And we're like, okay, but we spent all this money on these carts, we have all this stuff. How are we going to do story workshop without them all putting their hands in the same bin to pull stuff out? So we got the little photo box cases and we laid out all our loose parts. I mean, this was on a bigger scale than a classroom scale, but even if you put out all your loose parts and you just go and put some different things in every little box. And then when it was time to do story workshop, they got a box and it was like that show Chopped, that cooking show where you open your mystery basket and you go like, oh boy, this is what we have to work with. And even
got
then-
three puzzle pieces and a pine cone. Let's see what we can do.
What can I do? But that was like, it forced creativity in a totally different way. Whereas like now they get to see, oh, do I want to take the pine cone? Do I want to take a rock? What am I, they already start, you know, the wheels are spinning in their head of what kind of story they want to create before, so that they can choose their pieces. Whereas when you give them some stuff, it's like, okay, well, what can I do with this? And so if your collection isn't very big, or you could just create a few of those kits and have those as a center, right? It doesn't have to be a big, huge, whole class thing.
I love it. Yeah, it's really gotten all the wheels turning in my brain about all the things that I can do and all the extension activities that you could do with it. I just love the multiple entry points. And, like, of course, I'm the kindergarten lens because I'm an Ontario kindergarten educator. I'm just like, how it ties into our Ontario kindergarten, like, program, like a curriculum document. And how there's, like, responding to texts and retelling stories. Like, there's so many different connections that can be made to our program document as well. So it's just really, I'm feeling inspired. I'm going to need to try this.
Well, and I think no matter if it's kindergarten in Ontario or grade three in BC, we get this curriculum and we're like, oh my gosh, that's so much stuff to cover. Yes. But when you actually think about it, you go, okay, I did story workshop, tick, 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 tick. Like, I hit so many things. Even I'm thinking about, you know, we have like a career thing. I can't even think of the whole name of it. Career in something. But even that, it's about problem solving. It's about taking turns. It's about all that kind of stuff. And you go, well, yeah, I mean, you also did that when you did Story Workshop. So I think you can hit so many different points in your curriculum. It could be social studies, it could be science. Maybe you're learning about animals in winter, and then you're gonna do your science with loose parts. Like it doesn't have to just be a literacy thing. It can be a
You can even like put up some like an artist, like an artist, what's that called when you really look into an artist?
like an artist study or
Yeah,
something.
an artist study, and then at the end you give them some loose parts to inspire them to create some artwork based on that artist that you've studied. Like there's just, yeah, like any, I'm just thinking of our kindergarten program document, like any parts of that program document, like I feel like I could do a story workshop on any of them and really like let students show what they know in their own way.
Even if you are really into like the outdoor ed and you take your class outside all the time, go out into the forest, go out into the schoolyard, whatever, and find some rocks and twigs and sticks and little leaves and whatever, they will make stuff out of that. And so it doesn't have to be that, yeah, you went to Michael's and you spent money on all the little figurines and whatever. You can go outside and do it. Even if you have stuff in your classroom, go outside because again, it's a different entry point, right? You have different materials, you're outside in the elements. What are we going to do with the stuff? Yeah.
I loved it. Well, thank you so much for sharing about Story Workshop. I really appreciate it because now I feel inspired to try it. And I love having new things to try. That's like my favorite thing, having new things to try. I'm one of those people that you tell me about something, I'm like, I'm going to try that. I don't care if it
I'm going to
works or
make
it
it
doesn't
happen
work.
tomorrow. We're starting.
I need to just try it and figure out how that's going to work for my students because I can just see like how amazing it could be for them. So I'm one of those people that I'm just like, I'm going to do it right away. Like
Well, and
I
I feel
want to
like
try it.
especially like you're just back from the break, it feels like a great time to start something new. And being kindergarten, January really like they start taking off, right? And so then that is such a great time to be like, hey, we spent all that time in the fall learning our routines and getting started and whatever. And it's like, now guys, I have this great idea. We're gonna start this. They're gonna be just as jazzed about it as you are.
Yeah. And I have a not a ton, but I have quite a few students who are English language learners. So I find that, you know, finding those multiple entry points to allow them to show like their creativity and their knowledge in whatever way that they can, it's like I'm constantly thinking about it. And so now having Story Workshop is just another tool in my tool belt that I can bring out to help those students in the classroom as well.
Yeah, I get that. I mean, I'm a French immersion teacher, and so trying to get these kids to speak and to write and to whatever in this other language, and often they're missing a lot of vocabulary, and so it's like it's a way for them to share, even if they are a student who is weaker in those literacy skills.
Yeah. And it's such a great way to build vocabulary too, because then you can help them build that vocabulary and give them those words that they're searching for as well.
Especially if you are gonna be pretty selective about the pieces you're gonna give them, pre-teaching that vocabulary before you even give it to them. That could be instead of your prompt, we're doing a brainstorm on the board. You know, we're gonna talk about winter, we're gonna talk about St. Patrick's Day, we're gonna talk about whatever. What vocabulary would we need? And like start with some of that stuff. And so as a whole group, you're talking about it and you're not singling anybody out, even though as the teacher, you know, we're doing this for you know, so and so and so and so, right? Yeah.
Yep. Love it. Love it so much. Before I let you go, make sure you have to tell everybody where they can find you so that they can go and follow you. Where's the best place to follow you or best places?
The best place is probably my Instagram account. It's just Madame Marissa, MME Marissa. If you're interested in loose parts, I post about them all the time. I also post art all the time. And so that's probably the best place. But I do have a blog, madamemarissa.com, where if you're interested in Story Workshop, I have a blog post about that. It's more tailored toward 2-3 my blog, but there's general stuff there as well that might be able to help you. And I have a TPT store for French and English primary, so I'm all over.
I will put all of those links in the show notes as well. So if you're listening and you want to find Marissa, everything will be down there for you and we'll make sure that you're able to find her. Before I hopped on to this call, I was like, oh, I'm going to deep dive into her Instagram and like figure out everything. And so This is, I tell the kids all the time, I have Swiss cheese brain. I cannot remember anything. And so I was like, oh, she has a whole art projects thing on her blog. So I clicked on it and I was scrolling through and I'm like, I've been so inspired by these art projects in the past. And I'm like, I didn't even connect that it was you. Like, I was just like, oh my goodness, I love all of your art projects. You have such great inspiration for
Thank
art in the
you.
classroom. Even the Halloween one that I think in my Halloween post, I said, I cannot remember where I saw this. So, and I think I then
Like, it
tagged
was
you after
probably
you were
me.
like, it was me. And already I was like, oh my gosh, I did that Halloween thing. Where did that come from? And I'm like, oh
But you
yeah.
know what I mean? Like, I'm teaching grade three this year, but you're still able to use
Yes.
the ideas, right? And adapt them to a kindergarten level, which, yeah, that's why I love the whole online teacher community, is you can see something English, French, primary, intermediate, whatever, and go like, I love this idea and I'm going to tailor it to my students. And I just, yeah, very grateful for all the ideas that get passed around like
I
that.
know, I love it. And then I just have to be better at remembering where I found things, 'cause I'll be like, "Oh, I did this amazing thing." I have no idea where it came from, or else I'll screenshot it and I'm like, "Oh, I finally screenshot it." And I look back and I didn't even screenshot like the person's like handle, and I'm like, "Oh,
Right? Or you
come
talk, you're like, oh, I tried this great thing today, and then you go, I don't know whose game it was, but it was so great. So if it's
Yeah.
your game, thank you.
Yeah, it just like, and it's lovely. Like, that's, I love the Instagram community and like the blogging community, just because I'm able to get inspired by so many people. And then just having this podcast to be like, hey, come and talk about this thing. And so I can get re-inspired all over again. I just
Totally. I
love it
love the
all.
long form of a podcast because obviously on a story you only got so, and nobody wants to sit there for 30 minutes and watch your story. Right?
Especially now that they've put it for so long, it's like 30
I
minutes.
know.
I'm like, I don't have the attention span for this.
No. But you know what? You could put a podcast on and make your dinner,
Yeah.
drive to work, whatever. And you're like, oh, I'm so inspired, so many ideas now.
Yeah. So thank you so much for joining me. I'm going to make sure I put all of those in the show notes so that you can go be inspired by story workshops and all the amazing art projects that you do. They're so lovely. And thank you so much for coming on and talking to the audience about story workshops.
Thank you for having me. Yeah, if you have any more questions about Story Workshop, find me on my blog, find me on Instagram. I'm happy to chat any questions you have about it.
Amazing. Thank you. Again, thank you so much to Marissa for joining me to record this podcast episode. I hope you are inspired to try Story Workshop with your students and let me know how it goes. You can either reach out to me or to Marissa over on Instagram. We'd love to hear from you, hear your thoughts about Story Workshop, if you've done it in the past, how you run it, what has worked for you. That'd be fantastic to hear about what other educators are doing. Make sure you go and follow Madame Marissa over on Instagram. Even if you don't teach grade three, she shares, like I say in this podcast episode, some amazing art activities that I've done with my kindergarten students. Everything that she shares is easily differentiated for whatever grade. So don't be put off by her teaching grade three at all, because all of the things that she shares is fantastic. And so I will link everything in the show notes for you. Make sure you go and read up on all of the amazing things that Madame Marissa is sharing. And I want to thank you so much for joining us for this week's podcast episode. If you aren't already subscribed, make sure you subscribe on whatever podcast platform you're listening to this on, so that you know whenever I put up new podcast episodes, which is usually on Tuesdays. And again, thank you so much for joining me, and I hope you have a great day. Bye.